Hello, everyone, and welcome to another great and exciting episode of Any Line, Anytime. My name is Mark Babin, and it's great to have you with me today. On this episode, we are diving behind the scenes at the freight and logistics industry. More specifically, we'll be looking at the world of airline cargo. But as you will hear, it doesn't seem to matter which form of transportation we are looking at, the same pain points seem to exist for everyone in the industry. Joining me for this discussion is industry expert Michael Pischler. Michael is a well-recognized expert with years of experience in the industry and with many projects to his name, including those with DB Schenker, AIG Cargo, and Aramax, or Qatar Cargo, just to name a few. So, with our expert in hand, let's dive into this exciting episode. Enjoy the talk, and I'll see you on the other side. Michael, thank you so much for being with us today. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you here. I can't wait to get into some of these topics. So again, thanks so much for joining us today.
Great, Mark. Thanks for having me. It's actually a real pleasure to reconnect with Vienna. I've lived there for many years, actually most of my life. And so it's actually very happy to have this chat. And you know, Anyline, I've heard many great things about you. So yeah, cool. Thanks for having me.
Perfect. Well, great to bring you back to the city of Vienna in this virtual format, I suppose. We'll do this in person the next time, but for now, this obviously works. So again, thanks so much for being with us. Great to have you. So in our prior discussions and obviously leading up to this episode, you gave me a sneak peek into the industry and how it's broken down and the number of companies that are involved in all of the different processes, something I found extremely interesting even now. There's so many moving parts, so many companies doing different parts. It's extremely complex. So perhaps this is a really great place to start for the audience.
Right. Yeah. Really good question. Let's give some context. I think the very first thing is, I tap into it from time to time, is basically when we say logistics, we typically wrap many things into it. What we actually mean is, and sometimes we mean parcel businesses, sometimes we mean freight forwarding, sometimes, we basically wrap it all in. So typically what you see is you've got freight forwarders. Those are companies that are the same or organizing larger, longer, more complex transformation projects. You've got what's generally referred to as logistics, which is very simply speaking, companies that run warehouses and distribution businesses. So, for example, you'd say you've got Nike and you've got a business that actually organizes how Nike shoes are distributed across the globe or within a region to, all the way to the retail store. So that's typical logistics kind of business. And then, of course, you've got, parcel and postal, and we know all of that. Now, all of this takes place on land, in the air, on the sea, on rail or container shipping. And so the specific segment, air cargo, is basically cargo that's actually transported on air. I think, so that's basically what air cargo is about. Now, cargo providers actually run different business models, if you like. Most of the time, they will be hidden somewhere in deeper, supply chains or transportation chains. So oftentimes, freight forwarders will actually, subcontract air cargo providers to basically take part of one slice of their transportation chain. They are largely direct to consumer. They are largely not direct to consumer. So you have largely B2B businesses. So very rarely do you have an air cargo business interact with the consumer directly. And then, of course, the other, and that's a very important aspect, is that, air cargo carriers typically ship goods in two ways. You've got cargo carriers that are owning cargo aircraft. They're called freighters. So really dedicated, an entire aircraft full of cargo. Or in many cases, most of the airlines will transport cargo in the hold underneath the passenger, like Austrian Airlines and Lufthansa and British Airways, all of them do that. So, with your baggage, most of the hold actually will be consumed by cargo. I think that's something that's maybe not that well known out there. I don't know. And so the entire cargo market, that's a close that thought out, is extremely fragmented. Just to give you a little bit of an idea, for example, in the UK only, there are 190,000 freight and logistics kind of businesses. This means, you know, it's the whole spectrum that we spoke about, warehousing, distribution, air, land, sea, ports, the whole ecosystem is extremely large. And so what that means is a typical transportation chain is, you know, it's very much like a transportation fabric. It's, you know, it's little businesses connected all over the globe. So it's super interesting, actually. And it's an ideal space for technology to be in.
That's incredible, that number of how many different, like you said, how many different freight and cargo companies there are. It's a super interesting point, and I'd love to stay here for a moment. Would you be able to share what the challenges are that drive this market specifically?
Yeah, it's I think if I keep it simple, I'd say three things. I think the very first one is you know, how do you actually, how as a cargo business do you compete in this world where quality or service quality is almost at the same level, you know, so especially over the last year, I saw that many companies actually from a service level perspective move to the same level. So whatever experience you get is pretty similar across the board. So that makes it really hard to compete. And then secondly, you know, in a world where Amazon really sets the standards, you know, in terms of turnaround times, in terms of, you know, delivery timeframes, in terms of customer expectations. And so, you know, and so even though air cargo is not a direct-to-consumer business, it is still, you know, quite strongly impacted by that. So really, so the key question or key questions there for me are, how do you grow your word of mouth? You know, how do you actually improve your customer experience, you know, so you can move from having customers to actually having advocates, and then how do you grow your share of wallet? So that, you know, that sort of is, you know, in my mind when I think about competing. The second challenge is how do you actually scale cost effectively? We've seen, you know, again, last year in July, so we used to have volumes that are typical for Christmas. Okay, so just to give an idea, Christmas normally is a huge peak. Last year in July, we had those volumes already. Some of the countries grew by 40% or more year over year. So as a consequence, suddenly cargo, you know, every business in the freight space had to deal with a lot more volume, basically with the same number or sometimes even less number of people. And so the second question that's important for me is actually how do you scale a business like this? Effectively, basically get more stuff done with the same number of people. And then thirdly, you know, as we touched on that fragmentation of that transportation network, and so that, you know, is a very strong technology challenge. So how do you use data and integration to actually really connect it up and make it simpler to operate? So, you know, so keep in mind that three things, you know, how do you compete in a world where, you know, Amazon exists, in a world where everyone's providing pretty much the same service? How do you scale getting more stuff done with the same number of people? And then how do you actually integrate more effectively?
Yeah, three really good points that provide a great guide for those in the industry to perhaps look at their operations and move on. So I'd love to come, I think for those listening, the whole part about how to compete. I think that's probably a great starting point for a lot listening. So simply put, how do you compete?
I mean, that's a very complex question in itself. I would say, but you know, there's one thing actually I wanted to hone in on. It's a little bit of a, we've heard a lot about the customer, you know, it's the customer, but I actually genuinely believe in that. So I think the customer, you know, when, I had a mentor once, and you know, I sort of looked into a specific project, and you know, and I really struggled getting started with the right end. And he said, "Well, say, look, focus on your customer's customer," and you know, and so that's when I actually became quite clear what it is that's really important. And so have you, in case you haven't read the book, The Effortless Experience, you know, if you didn't, have a look at it. And I think the authors make a very valid point in that they say that positive customer experiences, so word of mouth, you know, loyalty, share of wallet, you know, return business is all related to customer and staff effort. So what that means is if you make it really simple for your customer, then, you know, they will be more likely to do business with you. If not, you know, they are going to be less likely or even not do it at all. You know, and it's remember how simple it is to actually do business with Amazon, you know, as a consumer or on the B2B side. You know, how many taps does it really take you to get something delivered? It's just literally a handful. You know, you have the product, put in your basket, and then it's three swipes to get to basically get to check, you know, go through checkout. And that's what I mean, you know, make it really simple. So simply speaking, you know, it's about, for example, you know, if we pick, you know, our most favorite examples, most of us probably had airline tickets over the last year and we needed to move things around. And so the question is, you know, it's not about making, you know, that call a really pleasant experience. The question is, what can you do to actually eliminate that call in the first place? And so it's really, how do you actually make it very simple for your end customer? Or how do you actually simplify, you know, whatever your customer wants to do with you? And so I think this is where, you know, technologies like yours, you know, and also ours, you know, have a really strong place to play. Does that make sense?
Yeah, interesting. Can you give an example of that technology then, I guess, in play?
So let's say, okay, so let's, and I think let's go a little bit into cargo in that place. So, you know, if you have customers, if you're a customer, so basically, if you make it simple for your customers, they're more likely to do things for you. Same, at the same time, you need to also look after your employees, basically do the same thing, you know, make it really simple for your employees to actually do the right thing, because they won't do, you know, if it's a lot of work for them, they're less likely to do it. So let's visualize the air cargo transportation chain for a moment. So, you know, let's assume, Mark, you want to ship something via air cargo. What you're going to do is, you know, you'll probably get on your truck, you load your pallets, you will go to the airport, you will then, you know, check in. And this means, you know, this means actually your driver's license has to match your truck's registration number, you know, your paperwork has to match your truck and, you know, your license, and then your actual cargo has to match your paperwork. And all of that, you know, is quite a lot of work. Right. Eventually, you'll go through that screening process. You'll drive up to the cargo terminal. Things will get unloaded. They may or may not get labels, and then it will go through customs. Eventually, it will get packed into, you know, those little silver containers, the ULDs. It will go out onto the airside, and eventually, will be loaded onto an aircraft and fly off. Now, let's go back to the very start. Right? You can do two things. You could say, let's do inbound security manually. And, you know, you, Mark, you get off your truck, you've got your stack of papers, you know, you go to the queue, you wait until, you know, until it's your turn. Easily, that could take you 2 hours, you know, at peak time. Or you could just do it digitally. And you could say, well, actually, we've got technology to do this. We're just scanning the license plate. You know, we could scan license plates automatically. And literally, that could be half a minute. No, and you could be at the cargo terminal 5 minutes later. And so that's, you know, that's what I mean here. So this is really, that's the point, you know, that I'm trying to make here. It's really, how can you actually do things in such a way that, you know, that businesses think actually, you know, it's really, you know, it's so easy to process, you know, to do things with you or to do business with you. You know, so I'd much rather do it with you than with someone else. And so I think that's probably at least in my mind is what's the most important. It's what's the most important, you know, aspect in terms of competing with your competition. It's reducing customer effort. And so the same thing then repeats, you know, think about all the parties that a cargo business deals with. You know, the same idea repeats into customs processing, into how you deal, you know, do work at the warehouse, how you, you know, for example, you, instead of, you know, having, for example, a notoriously difficult thing to do is getting warehouse workers to actually scan goods, because it's a lot of work, you know, you have to actually scan it. And so, you know, it's easy to scan three things, but, you know, it's a lot of work to scan 100 things. And so I'm thinking, you know, so again, you know, very easily there could be a world where all of those things are actually scanned and taken, you know, sort of, you know, tracked photographically or via video cameras, right? Where we actually use technology and image processing to track goods across warehouses and containers coming and going from into warehouses without necessarily needing people to do, you know, to do that, you know, very sort of hard and also tedious kind of work. So in summary, it's really, right, so yes, there are many big and strategic conversations, but also there are quite a lot of plays, you know, where technology is able to close, you know, lots of those little gaps to cross that exist across organizations and across the entire cargo ecosystem, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And also worth noting that this technology exists, is readily available off the shelf, which is great for a lot of these people in the industry. It's not something they have to go and reinvent the wheel with, right? It's available.
Exactly. It's about really just finding, just keeping it, having an open eye, and actually, you know, I'm finding the space to say, okay, let's try this and that. You know, sometimes the whole aviation world is also very much regulated. And so sometimes businesses that operate in that space actually forget that they've got this kind of flexibility. Because, you know, typically when changes happen in that world, because it's so tightly regulated, you know, things tend to take a long, long time. And so getting in there, you know, trying new things, closing little gaps, I think that could get businesses like this a long, long way.
Yeah, fair points. Great points. So in talking to you previously, you had mentioned that this industry has an extremely low margin, another point that completely blew me away, because I, you know, you think of the big companies here, the big players, and there's so many of them. I wouldn't have thought it's that low margin, but apparently, as you've said, it's quite low. So just how low are we talking, and can you explain why that is?
So, let's not forget. So cargo is at the end of the day, cargo is a commodity. You know, it's something that happens. No one sees it. There's lots of competition now in the air cargo world. So air cargo is more on the upper end of the spectrum, you know, when we speak about margins. But still, those industries there's lots of competition. You know, it's extremely asset intensive. You know, think about what it takes to operate an air cargo terminal at an airport. You know, it's embedded, it's behind security, it's already on the airside. You've got airlines, you've got many parties, you've got customs. So all of those parties, big assets, automated warehouses, you know, big operation. It's an extremely asset intensive operation. And so, without, you know, naming and without mentioning any numbers, but we're really talking in sort of, you know, very, very razor thin margins in that kind of business. And so what we typically see is that air cargo providers will try to move into higher margin kind of business like fashion or like electronics. And so when I think margins, or when I think about optimizing margins, then the big play is always, well, actually, how can we start to automate things? You know, how can we actually start to just reduce costs or take out cost via automation? The second thing, and you know, of course, that I think connects really nicely to that point that we just spoke about previously. You know, as soon as you start automating things, of course, things are becoming more consistent, and also effort gets taken away from the customer. Now, in my view, and I think this is a really interesting conversation, because I think this is where most, you know, technologies, especially like yours, actually play really well. It's in that space. So in my view, I would say 85 or 90% of a cargo business can and should really be automated. You know, we're not talking all the manual things that need to happen. So there's things like, yes, pallets need to get unloaded. You know, yes, containers need to be touched and boxes need to be touched. But in principle, the whole planning process, you know, the entire operation, what it is that needs to be done and when and where, that can be automated. Now, automation drives throughput. Right, automation drives also quality. That's important. As a consequence, it reduces mistakes. So it gets more stuff done with basically the resources you have. You know, and so that's how we tackle the cost challenge. So it's a long-winded way of getting to the point. It's to basically do things faster and better. And in my mind, so this is sort of the foundation. And then what we really need to be pushing is we need to say, well, actually, let's make cargo businesses more intelligent. So let's not just help them tackle, you know, the challenge at hand and automate things, but actually let's make them smarter and give them the ability to actually anticipate what's happening next, you know, rather than focusing on, you know, all the busy work. So, for example, one of the pain points, you know, I know in cargo is that, you know, I mentioned previously, it's having accurate scanning data. So knowing where things are and when, not in a general sense, you know, it's on that aircraft, but actually in a very specific sense, where is it specifically right now? You know, where is that, you know, where are those 27 boxes, you know, in the warehouse, whichever are they at? And so that means also, you know, for example, you know, then to understand, okay, so those five boxes have been packed into this container, et cetera, et cetera. So those are problems that can easily be solved. You know, so, but in my mind, why do warehouse workers even need to scan, you know, boxes like this? So why couldn't we just use image recognition? You know, and I know there's a lot of technical detail to that point, and it's not that trivial, you know it better than me, but, you know, but it's not an impossible challenge to solve. And so there are many more examples like those. So customs processing, for example, you know, it's very hard, very tedious work, you know, matching customs commodity codes to terms on commercial invoices. You know, again, you know, that's a classic space where not much automation has been done in the past, but where a lot of automation could actually be done. You know, I could easily imagine a world where 40%, you know, of sort of standard, simple, you know, run-of-the-mill customers declarations could be automated. You know, I could easily see that happening in, you know, a little bit in the future. And so I think, you know, that's where there is enormous gain for those companies, you know, firstly, because it drives throughput, of course, you know, as we said previously, but secondly, also because it creates speed and consistency. And it goes back to the point that we mentioned previously. So it simplifies the end customer's lives, but also it increases that business's reliability. So it helps them differentiate against their competition. And most importantly, I think, you know, let's not forget, if you increase throughput, two things happen, you know, with the same number of resources, two things happen. Your throughput increases, so your revenue will go up, provided you have capacity, and your cost to serve per unit will go down, so your cost goes down. And so I think that in essence sums it up quite, you know, for me, is really use technology to drive automation. You know, automation doesn't just make you cheaper, it also makes you more consistent, drives up your quality, and therefore helps you differentiate. And as a consequence, you're actually going to see more revenue. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And it paints a great picture for it. So knowing this, I guess when we're looking at integrating new solutions and new innovations, it does make sense that most of these organizations, they can't afford a custom or highly complex system to get to that point because, again, these margins are so low, like you're saying, the costs are so high. To integrate new systems is not within reach, especially for a lot of these smaller companies, as you were mentioning. So they can't get there without having, I mean, they can't do the custom solutions. So how do they get there? Because it's too low, right?
Right. Well, at the end of the day, right, there's still a business case behind every activity. And so those are things that need to be done. So my answer would be, well, yeah, that's something that needs to be done. And so, in that specific case, what you would do is you would just say, well, what is it that we are aiming for? So let's say we're aiming to automate 34% of our customers, you know, customs declarations, let's assume within the first 18 months. And so by doing that, you know, we'll get the ability to either process more, you know, with the same number of people or, you know, or become slimmer as an organization. But basically, so there's a case behind all of those things. But the other thing I wanted to mention is, so it's, you know, even, yes, the margins are tight, but that doesn't mean that no money is being invested into those organizations. Quite frankly, you know, if you want to run an effective cargo operation, you need to make sizable investments into your infrastructure, you know, into automation, into software, but also into hardware and physical assets like, you know, warehouse automation and transport management and, you know, packing stations, you know, and picking stations if you're into, you know, distribution on the last mile, you know, so all very, so very complex, you know, very asset heavy, very financially intensive pieces of infrastructure. So yes, you know, so definitely, you know, a lot of investment happens in those spaces, you know, and oftentimes investments like these are the only way to really scale the operation. So it's really just a question of of actually, you know, building and executing, you know, the right business case.
Yeah, perfect. Makes great sense. So Again, previously in speaking to you, you mentioned scanning and image recognition a few times throughout the interview, which are great points to bring up. And it made me think the whole BYOD concept, the bring your own device, is there much conversation of that at all? I mean, taking advantage of not having to use expensive single-use devices that we see a lot in the industry, being able to utilize the devices that are already in people's pockets. I mean, it sounds like it would be a popular option, but is it part of the conversation?
I mean, that's an interesting one. Yes or no? So I've seen it, but I suppose if you ruggedize your devices, so imagine it's a very physical environment. Very easily things could drop or things could drop on it. So it's a very physical environment. So yes, I've seen it in a ruggedized form, but also the other, I think the real challenge in that environment is scanning. Barcodes is a really tricky business. You know this really much more than I do. But the lightning, and sometimes things are wet or dry, and then things got damaged, or the printing quality is low. So really, assuming that the challenges like this, can be overcome, then yes, you could actually use devices like this. Now, but also, I think it's less of a binary conversation than this. So there are two things that come to mind. The very first one is maybe you would actually equip your warehouse workers, with special purpose devices. But then there's lots of people that have a need to know that don't necessarily need them. And you could say, well, actually, let's equip those with, cheaper built devices, that would work just as well. The other thing, though, is that, and I think that brings me back, to this initial thought. I think also let's really think about pushing the boundaries. The question is, why do you even need to equip people with devices in the first place? For example, if you've seen ULDs at airports, right? Those are those little silver boxes with numbers on them.
All over the tarmac, yeah.
You could literally just track them without actually ever having to make a note anywhere about where they are, because, they're so easily identifiable. The same thing, goes with, maybe today there are little barcode labels on pallets, but does it really have to be? Could it be maybe a little bit, something a little bit bigger? It could even be just a, plain piece of paper or something that's sprayed onto a pallet and would allow you to actually track it around without really having to, ever pick up a device. So I think that in my mind is where actually the future in terms of, commodity and also more commodity type technology goes, is actually making things, automate things, but by not automating, basically make them happen in the background. I think this is what's going to happen. So really automate things in background, use image recognition, use machine learning type approaches, use data to actually be able to really build proactive transportation chains rather than just reactive. Something comes in, I scan it. That's a very reactive thing to do. Does that make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense. So really, it's a combination of all of these different types of innovations and technologies. I mean, we're dealing with large companies and small companies, so everyone's needs are a little bit different. Their demands are a little bit different. But having all of these options available will slowly get them to the point at which things are becoming a bit more efficient, a bit more optimized and automated, right from where we started the conversation with that cargo driver arriving at the airport, to automating that process and speeding it up to the actual logistics on the packing and unpacking. So it's these little baby steps with all these different options based on where that company is in particular, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. No, it's really nice to know there's tons of options and incredible insights into really an industry that's usually behind quite a dark curtain. So these insights have been great. It's really nice to know where the industry is now versus where it could be once they've made that digital switch. So that's super insightful. Again, Michael, thank you so much for helping us to unveil this industry that's been hidden or perhaps a little bit too far for most of us to reach. But to know that, like you said, 190,000 of these companies was in the UK alone, I think you said. There's so many across the world that could make incremental steps towards improving their optimization, increasing transparency, and essentially giving the end customer more transparency and more traceability of where their package is, give the companies more transparency and traceability, and give them more confidence, I think is ultimately the goal here, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, brilliant. So
now in this environment, I think it's always really important. Just, I would say in any kind of enterprise, focus on the actual end customer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, figure out what the actual end customer is all about and then work backwards from there. And I think that, you know, and especially in that supply chain type industry, many changes happened over the past years. And I mean, over the past years and especially over the past year. And so, and it's still in a certain way technologically in its infancy. And so I think we're going to see a lot happening there. And it's really super exciting.
Yeah, and the science behind it, the technology is increasing incredibly fast with machine learning and the ability to capture data much more efficiently. Like you said, it's only in its beginning, but it's growing incredibly fast, something that we see a lot across the industry. So it's promising for the industry that this will be the future. Companies just have to be proactive, like you said, rather than reactive, which I think I love that point, because that's the core of everything. That to make efficiency gains, you need to be proactive. So yeah I really like that. Good. Any final notes before we sign off today, Michael?
Yeah, I think that's it. Thanks for having me. It was really quite a lot of fun. So thanks again. And I wish you guys good luck.
Thank you. Yeah, likewise, best of luck on your future projects. Obviously, you have plenty on the go. So again, a pleasure having you here. And again, thank you for helping us to unveil the industry a little bit more. It's been a great, great conversation. So thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Absolutely incredible just how much detail and different steps go into every single day within the industry. Some very interesting facts and things to note for those working in the industry as ways to move that needle on efficiency and optimization just a little bit forward, making significant changes in revenue and operating processes. I do hope that you were able to take plenty away with you from this talk. And if you have any questions at all, please do not hesitate to reach out to Michael or myself. Our LinkedIn information is in the description of this podcast. So, until next time, we wish you a great day no matter where in the world you are. And as always, stay happy, stay healthy. I'll talk to you very soon.